Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Dr. Dockery, thank you for the opportunity to be able to come and share with the school and the students that are here. I know you're excited about being here. I'm a little bit nervous because the last time I was here was 35 years ago. And the students that were sitting that close to me were not nearly as nice and smiling and as quiet because I was shooting a free throw for Belmont. And everybody was right under the basket, and they were yelling at me and saying all kinds of things and all kinds of questions that I didn't want to answer. But I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share with you and to be with you and talk to you about something, share with you a message that I believe can literally transform your life. I know it can transform your life. It transformed my life when I grasp hold of what God was saying. I want to share with you, what's your description of potential? Think about it. You've got a description of potential, something that you define potential as what? The dictionary says, describes it this way, power to be, but has not yet become reality. Latent, undiscovered power that is only possibility. I love what Bob Trumpet, who used to be a tight end for the Cincinnati Bengals, said. He used to be a broadcaster on television as well. He described potential as this. When he talked about a player that had potential, could be, his description was, he ain't done much yet. Think about that. Potential means you could be, you should be, you ought to be, you might be, someday you will be, but right now, you're not there. And so all over this room, there is all kind of latent potential. Potential that everybody has within them, everybody holds within them. The possibility of what you could do and should do and would do if you only could do it. The basic best description in the Bible I can find of potential is a man by the name of Samson. You know the story as well as I do. His mother was physically unable to have children. His birth was a miracle of God. The angel of the Lord announced to the parents that the boy was going to be born. His mom prayed for him. His dad gave him to the Lord before he was ever born. He was dedicated by God. His parents turned him into a Nazarite from birth and encouraged him in that direction all of her life. He was set apart by God. Wow. Talk about potential. This kid had a lot of what you had. How many of you were raised in a Christian home? That's a large majority. You had the opportunity to be able to be brought up in a home where your mom and dad took you to church, where they read the Bible, where they tried, not perfectly, none of us are. But they tried to be able to raise you up, to train you up, to be whatever it was that God had called you to be and the purpose for which God had created you to be. It was all there. And your parents were God's instruments to be able to help you to come to that point and time in your life. You had a head start on a lot of us who weren't raised in a Christian home. You started 5 or 6 steps ahead of us in this journey toward reaching our potential in life. Just like Samson. You had that benefit. You had that advantage that a lot of kids here didn't have. A lot of the students here didn't have that opportunity for whatever reason it may be. Samson was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and a Bible in his crib. His name, Samson, means sunshine. Don't you think they probably called him Sonny? I mean, that's what we would have done, right? That's what Samson means. And his father prayed to God and asked God to teach him how to bring up the boy. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because he realized that the boy that was given to him belonged to God. Didn't belong to him. He was just loaned to that father and that mother. And the father's job was to help that child to be able to realize every ounce of potential that God had placed inside of that child, to raise him up, to train him up, to bring him up to the point where he could become everything and realize his full 100% of his potential in life. Now, I don't believe that Samson was one of those huge muscle-bound guys like Hulk Hogan or the Incredible Hulk. I don't think when he walked down the street, everybody just stared at him and said, "Wow, look at that guy." I think he was just an average-sized guy. Well, if he wasn't just an average-sized guy, why did Delilah say, "Where do you get your strength from?" You look at the Incredible Hulk and you say, "Where does he get his strength from?" You know where Hulk Hogan gets his strength from. It's all those pythons that he carries around with him. It would have been a natural thing. But she had to look at Samson and say, "Where do you get your strength?" Because he's just an average guy. You see, his strength did not come from his muscles. It came from the mercy of God. And God empowered him with all of that potential and all that inner strength, all those things that he needed to be able to be what God wanted him to be. He was not only physically strong, he was also mentally strong. He was quick-witted. He loved riddles. He loved to be able to have some brain twisters and teasers there. He was witty. He had a great sense of humor. He was well-spoken. He was a nice guy. I'm sure if they took a vote anywhere around that area, he would have been the guy most likely to succeed. He had it all. Had everything going for him. All the girls were after him. All the guys wanted to be his best friend. Everybody looked up to him. I'm sure his parents told him the story of his miraculous birth, what the angel had said to them over and over again. I'm sure they told him as he was growing up in his younger years that he had a purpose in life and God was going to lead him to do what was right. And they told him over and over again that he was to begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. But Samson died young. He died needlessly. He died pathetically. And he did not fulfill his purpose in life. Samson's story begins with such great potential. But it's not a happy story. It's a sad story. It's a story about failure. It's about a guy who was disobedient. He was defeated. He was disgraced. And he ended up in destruction. He went from a hero to a zero. Samson's story is not just a sad story. Samson is a description of what it means not to reach your potential and commit the sin of not reaching your potential. Samson was a bundle of contradictions. He was bold before men, stand up against anybody, face anybody. Didn't matter who they were, didn't matter how many they were, didn't matter what weapons he had in his hands. He would face anybody. He could face any man, but he was defeated by women. The Holy Spirit of God would come upon him with amazing power, but then he didn't have enough strength to overcome his own lust. He was called upon to defeat the enemies of God, but he partied with them, even married one of them in the evenings. He fought the Lord's battles by day, and he broke the Lord's commandments by night. His name, Sonny, speaks of light, but he ends his life in darkness. As a blind prisoner, he had soared so high, and then he had fallen so low. He started off as Superboy, and everybody knew this kid is going places. This kid's going to get it done. And before long, he's not going to be a Superboy. He's going to be a Superman. But he ended up simply being a playboy and not achieving what God had put inside of him. When he was born, no one would have ever predicted what the end of his life would be. The boy who started out with such tremendous blessings from God and from godly parents became every parent's nightmare. He's the classical biblical description of a person who failed to reach his potential in life. Secondly, I want you to see the second point. The biblical examples of the sin of not reaching your potential. Samson's one. There are many others that we can see throughout the scripture. Every person here is an incredible package of potential. There is no one here that is not absolutely jam-packed in every aspect of your life with potential. God only knows the power that would be unleashed in this college community if everybody here would just realize half of your potential in your life. If right now you would begin to let that boil up outside, inside of you to the outside and just begin to use that potential, you would literally transform not just Jackson, you would transform all of West Tennessee and it would spill over into every other aspect of this community. That's how much potential is here. if all of us would simply swap our potential for fulfillment. What many don't realize is that failing to reach your potential in life is not a tragedy. It's a sin. It's a sin. Let me give you some examples of that. First of all, Adam and Eve put into the garden to do what? To be able to have dominion over all the things of God. To be able to take care of the garden and to be able to take care of the animals. All those things, they had all that power. And then one day, they ate the forbidden fruit. And God condemns them, puts them out of the garden. And we say sometimes, if you're like me, you have a pastor's heart. You say, Lord, isn't that a little bit strong? Isn't that a little bit strong for you to just cast man out of the garden? Because all they did was eat just one fruit. They didn't get a second chance, God. Their sin was not that they ate the forbidden fruit. Their sin was now they could never reach the potential for which God had created them. They would no longer have dominion over the land. Now they would have to struggle and they would have to scrape the earth and deal with the problems. Now we're going to have to deal with hurricanes and tornadoes and all those other things that came about as a result of the fall of man. So their sin was, Adam and Eve's sin was, that they did not reach their potential. They could now no longer reach and fulfill their potential because they allowed sin to come into their life in that form of disobedience. In Numbers 13, we read about the Hebrew people who have come out of slavery and they've come up to the edge of the promised land. And you know the story about sending out the 12 spies and they come back and the 10 say, we can't go out there. There are too many giants in that land. We can't accomplish that. And even though 2 said, yes, the people moved away, they backed away. They failed to be able to fulfill their potential and go on into the promised land for which God had called them. God sends them back into the wilderness for 40 years. The entire generation dies except for 2. Why? They failed to fulfill the potential that God had placed inside of them when He brought them out. Years later, the nation of Israel would be God's instrument that He was going to bring through the redemption of all mankind through Jesus Christ. And they're supposed to be the messengers and they're supposed to have the Word of God to be able to share the redemption of God with all mankind. But they began to hoard it to themselves and they began to lose sight of why they were brought into this world and why they had been blessed. And so God sends them into captivity. Why? They didn't realize and fulfill their potential in life. They committed the sin of not reaching their potential, so God sends them into the wilderness or over into captivity, and they lose their joy. Jesus told the story about some men about a man who was a wealthy man, and he was going into a far country. You know the story. He gave one man 10 talents, one man 5 talents, or 2 talents, and another man 1 talent. And when he came back, the man who had the 5 talents said, here's 5 more talents, I want to give them to you. The one who had 2 said, here's 2 more talents, I want to give back to you your 2 plus 2 more. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Now I'm going to bless you in many things. And to whom much is given, much is required, remember? And then the one guy comes up. He said, here's your 1 talent. Here it is, it's back to you, just like you gave it to me. And he looked at him and said, you wicked and lazy steward. Wicked and lazy. Did he misuse the money? Did he misuse? No. Did he abuse it? No. Did he spend it on himself? No. He simply didn't live up to his potential. And because he didn't live up to the potential that the other ones did, the master called him wicked and lazy. And he lost his reward. All of those are examples of people and individuals and groups that committed the sin of not reaching their potential. Adam and Eve, if you're like Adam and Eve, you will lose your fellowship with God. If you're like the Hebrew people on the edge of the promised land, you'll lose your dream from God. If you're like the nation of Israel, you will lose your joy from God. And if you're like the man with 1 unused talent, you will lose your opportunity to be great for God. And do something great for Him. You come to the end of your life saying, I wish I had. I really wanted to. I intended to. I hoped to. I tried to. But you didn't get there. You committed the sin of not reaching your potential. And then lastly, the biblical rewards for those who fulfill their potential. The passage of Scripture that was read, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. This is a verse that a lot of us who are pastors often use at funerals. And it's true. We can talk about heaven that way, and we haven't seen everything. We don't know everything that's going to be in heaven. We can't even conceive of it. But I think it also applies to your life right here on this earth and the potential that God has placed inside of every person, every one of us, no matter who we are as His children. Some of us who haven't reached our potential, we like to blame it on the fact that we were raised in a dysfunctional family. If I had time, I'd tell you how my family put the capital D on the front of dysfunctional. Some of us say, well, I would have reached my potential if it hadn't been for that accident that took place in my life. I would have reached my potential if it hadn't been for that abuse that I suffered in my life. I would have reached my potential if that person hadn't done this, and or if I hadn't had such bad luck. We can always blow it off on bad luck, can't we? That's why I didn't reach my potential in life. Well, if you had any of these bad things happen to you, and that's your excuse, just take a number, would you? Take a number and get in line. Because almost all of us have those kind of excuses that we can offer anybody, especially ourselves, of why we're not reaching our potential. But if you want to know why you're not reaching your potential, quit looking out and blaming other people. Go home this afternoon, look in the mirror, and you'll see the solution to all those problems and how you can start reaching your potential. If Jesus had placed the same kind of potential in the church that He said in Matthew 16, our churches would be able to turn the world upside down. He said, I'm going to build my church, and not even the gates of hell will be able to prevail against it. What's He saying? There is not even the power in hell to be able to stop the church, my church, that's you and that's me, and that's the institutional church as well as we know. There is nothing in this world that can stop the church that reaches out to its potential in life. Not even hell itself, not the devil, no power in this world or universe can ever come against it. If Jesus has placed that kind of potential in His church, why is it that most of our churches seem to have 200 or less in them? My answer is they're simply not living up to their potential. They're simply not reaching out. They're simply not caring. They're distracted, whatever it is. They're not doing it. They have the same life-changing gospel that everybody else has, every other church has. They have the same Bible that's been inspired by God for our direction, our guidance, and our instruction in everything. They have the same Great Commission, and they have the same lost world all around them. Small churches aren't the only ones that commit the sin of failing to reach their potential. Churches of all sizes. You get a certain size in a church, the danger is you can become satisfied with where you are. You can become satisfied with only a piece of what God wants you to have. Just a portion of what God desires for you to have in your life. The blessings He wants to pour out on you now just kind of dribble out. And you say, wow, that's great. If they become satisfied with where they are, what they're doing, if they turn inward instead of outward, if they focus on their blessings instead of their obligations, if they become comfortable with what they have instead of accepting the challenges that God's put in front of them, they will not realize their potential in life. There are three people sitting in your seat right now. Right now. There is the person that you are now. I don't know who that is. I would guarantee you the person sitting closest to you doesn't know who you are. But you know. The person sitting in your seat right now is who you are. And then also sitting there is the person that you could be for evil. One of my seminary professors shared this. The person you could be for evil. He said there is a potential inside of every one of us to be another Adolf Hitler. To be another Joseph Stalin. I would say to be another Osama bin Laden. I would say the potential is there to be another Ted Haggard, Jimmy Swaggart. You get my point. The potential for evil is there also. And then there is also the person sitting in your seat that you could be for God. The potential to be another Billy Graham, the potential to be another Adrian Rogers, the potential to be another Beth Moore, sitting in your seat. What are you doing with the potential that God has placed in your life? Your parents, your professors, your pastors, all they're doing is simply trying to help you become all that God created you to become. They just want the best for you. They want you to become what you can become. God created you to be something that you are the only one that is capable of doing that better than anybody else, and that is to be you. God created you just like you are to accomplish just what He wanted from you, and nobody can do it quite as well as you can do it. But you will never do it if you are guilty of the sin of not reaching your potential in life. Some of you say, well, I just want to learn more about God. Just want to learn more about God, and then I'll start doing it later on in my life. And I'm just trying to learn more about God. That's kind of like the dog chasing the car. You seen the dogs chase the car? Have you ever wondered what in the world would he do if he ever caught it? If you learn more about God, what would you do with it? I believe you'd do the same thing you're doing with it right now. Having more and doing less is not the answer. Some of you are saying, well, I want a better job. Well, then go back to your work this week and be the absolute best employee you can possibly be on that job. And I promise you, if you go back to that place and you work harder and you work smarter and you're honest and you're upright in all your days, God will give you a better job in His time and in His way. Some of you say, well, I want more money. I need more money to get by. Are you being a faithful steward with that which you have? Are you giving to God the tithe and doing with the money that you've been blessed with what it is that God tells you to do? And if you're not, why would He give you more? I want to be a better student. Well, then focus your attention upon your studies instead of your social life. I want to be closer to God. Well, then just simply start doing what God is telling you to do today. Don't tell me God wants me to do this tomorrow. What does He want you to do today? And you start today where you are with what you have and where you are. Somebody here today is guilty of the sin of not reaching your potential. You have the potential to be something great for God, but you're not there yet. I don't ever want to be able to do something without the power of God. Been pastoring for 37 years. I could stand up and preach a sermon without the anointing of God. But my prayer is, Lord, please don't ever allow me to do that. Dr. Dockery is experienced enough to be able to lead Union University without the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him, but not the way he is now. You could graduate, you could get a job, you could make money without the anointing of God, get out and find a wife or a husband, have a family, and have a good life, but you would not reach the potential that God's placed in your life without the anointing of God upon your life. Samson died young. He died needlessly and pathetically. But what could he have been and what might have been in that young man's life if he had not been guilty of the sin of not reaching his potential? I want to close with something I found by a man by the name of Greg Lavoie. And he called it the tragedy of the unopened gift. I've kind of rearranged the title for my purposes, The Tragedy of the Person Who Hasn't Done Much Yet. Listen. To sinful patterns of behavior that never get confronted and changed, abilities and gifts that never get cultivated and deployed until weeks become months and months turn into years. And one day you're looking back on a life of deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations you never had. Great bold prayers you never prayed. exhilarating risks you never took, sacrificial gifts you never offered, lives you never touched. And you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams, and you realize there was a world of desperate needs and a great God calling you to be part of something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have become, but did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out of the boat. And I would add, you realize you have committed the sin of not reaching your potential. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, for your patience with us, and the way in which you allow us to freely participate in the greatest work in all the world, sharing your gospel and sharing the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every student at Union University today, thanking you, Lord, for the potential that you have built into them from birth. You have wrapped them up and just absolutely filled them to fulfillment. Now, Father, would you bless them this day? And would you help them to begin the journey this day, making the commitment this day that they will fulfill every ounce of potential that you have placed in them. Give them your direction, your leadership, your guidance. Show them how much you love them, the patience you have for them. And Father, I pray that they will become everything that you have called them to be, so that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man that which you have prepared for their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.